for a number of years, young people in the heavy metal scene have been stereotyped as troubled, apathetic, and reckless. But recent research has revealed that the metal community actually allows young people who are socially isolated to feel a sense of belonging, and that the music itself helps young people deal with emotions in such as depression and anxiety in a positive way. I'm joined now by Dr. Paula Rowe from the University of South Australia. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam.
So, Paula, why does metal have such a negative social image?
Oh, I think that dates back right to the beginning of the birth of the genre, some 50 years ago. I think that moral panics have always been a popular way of deflecting away from what's really going on at a political level, and conservative politics loves to latch onto something, which probably wasn't helped a great deal by some of Ozzy Osbourne's earlier stunts along the way, and then the famous PMRC Senate hearings in the US, which really put metal on trial in a big way, and then a lot of highly publicised trials through the early and mid-80s, certainly didn't help.
Now, obviously, the music, metal music itself is often a lot, characterized as, or it's quite loud, it has a lot of, emotional content to it.
Yes.
Well, how does that actually help people, work through emotions of their own?
Right, okay. So what was really interesting that came out of this was that it's far more complex than just saying, listening to metal makes me feel good. I think music's been vitally important to all people for a very long time, and there are lots of places to get in touch with emotions and to identify with feelings through music. But what I think becomes particularly unique to metal in the first instance is that musical intensity, which can bring about a real mind and body stress release, and we know that there are really important linkages there where stress manifests through the body with cortisol production and so forth, and how that really tenses us up. So there's a real physical release as well as an emotional release, which is often tapped into through the lyrical narratives in metal, which are quite unique in that in one instance there is a strong identification with narratives of despair and sadness and suffering, and again melancholy is not unusual at all in many musical genres. But what's quite unique for metal is that it's in this dualism, this relationship where there are narratives of dominance and rising up. So on the one hand, there can be this tapping into this despair and suffering and solidarity with other people feeling the same sorts of things, but then this sense of doing something about it and really self-empowering and changing that sort of self-talk
difference,
how I'm coping with things.
Is rather than, like wallowing in despair, it's saying, you can do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Right, and you talked about the solidarity aspect of it as well. At least you mentioned that.
Yes.
So this sense of community involved with the metal scene, how does that play into, troubled young people that are supposedly into metal?
Yeah, so this was longitudinal research. So on the one hand, the first aspect of the study was looking at the reflections on early metal identity formations. And so for all participants, that traced back through high school years. So there were two different sort of separations in how community played out. And I think I'll talk a bit more about that one, because in the second half of the study, they went out into the metal communities in face-to-face participation, and that started to become important in different ways. But during high school, I think for anyone who's seen the Sam Dunn documentary, Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, they might remember Rob Zombie commenting that every school has a weird kid, but in metal, it's like all of the weird kids coming together. So there's this sense of, long before you even participate, if you're watching metal media at home and consuming metal at home, which a lot of young people are, there's this sense of that there are others out there going through similar experiences. So even if you are doing it tough at school, if you're outside of the social order, you can have that sense of feeling of imagined community, and it's really quite then easy to join, which is then that aspect that shifts more from the listening experience into embodying metal, where we see all of a sudden the t-shirt, the metal shirt becomes really important. And of course, depending on which subgenre you align with, there'll be different stylistic preferences around that too, whether it's long hair or different ways of wearing your hair, or
so
what you're wearing or what you're doing. But it really is just that linking in that it's okay. But it's got that dual aspect of, well, of not only giving that personal sense of it's okay, I belong somewhere, but it's also sending that message at school. If you're at school and on your own, you can resist against the social order by showing a visible metal identity on the body.
So, Paul, can I ask you? You're talking about this community being, you know, like sort of broad and accepting for the people who feel on the outside. The general perception of a metal persona often is sort of, you know, a white male. Do you think this community is open to more diversity, or it's more diverse than people think?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's still, I think, a legacy of metal being birthed in the British Midlands, and for the longest time it was associated with the white, disaffected Western male. But metal's being used politically as a political strategy now in all corners of the world. And again, digital participation has really opened that up. So the globalisation of the metal culture is now providing access and opportunities in ways never seen before.
And how do you think that's going to change moving further on if it's already evolved with the digital age? Do you have any idea how the metal community might shift in the future?
Oh, that would be really hard to predict, I think.
Yeah.
I think with the technology itself, we don't know where that's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Paula. That's very interesting. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.